tonight for really what will be a short devotional message. I want us to, in many ways, pick up on those words that have just literally been read. Let's go to Bethlehem. And tonight, we're going to go to Bethlehem. It says, and that's the only slide that I have, Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And Matthew refers to this Old Testament text and writes, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Bethlehem, it literally means house of bread. Bethlehem was situated a few miles south of Jerusalem. And long before the city of Jerusalem was there, Bethlehem was there, known as Ephrath, of which we read in Genesis 35 and verse 19, in the story of Jacob, that his wife Rachel died on the road to Ephrath just after giving birth to Benjamin. That's the first occurrence in the scriptures of Bethlehem, a place associated with sadness. Bethlehem, as I've said, means house of bread. And we can truly imagine, I think, that many down through the generations found in Bethlehem a place to be nourished and strengthened on the journey, a place where they literally would have partaken of bread for the body and rest. But I want us tonight also just to remember Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethlehem is the birthplace of spiritual bread. What is the significance of Bethlehem? A preacher once said quite a long time ago that the hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. And that's a very poetic and very nice way to put it. It was, of course, the place that was prophesied of old. For example, way back in Genesis 49, it says, then Jacob called for his sons and said, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. And there lay within Bethlehem in Judea, in that house of bread, if you like, one who would be that bread in the ultimate sense. One who would grow up and stand amongst the people and declare with power and authority, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And the wise men, guided by the star, we are told, to Bethlehem, to the house of bread, they bowed, as we all must do. There, within that house of bread, lay the bread of life. And as we think tonight, just for these few moments, of the bread of life, born in that house of bread, we consider another searching and evangelistic question on this same theme that is raised by the prophet of old, Isaiah, in chapter 55. And Isaiah says to us, Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? And if you like, the word of the prophet from of old calls every generation to listen and to eat what is good, that our souls will delight in the richest of fare. And yet, can I suggest to you this evening on this Christmas Eve, people are starving. And when I say that, you will naturally and rightly maybe think of people in our world who are literally starving, physically and materially, not because there is no food, but because of the wickedness and the power grabbing of men and of nations. And whilst it's not my primary theme in these moments, I think it is good for us over these days to remember, and I could mention different places, but I cannot help but mention the children of Yemen who are starving through the wickedness of men. We remember them and pray that in God's providence, ways will be found to feed the starving. But I'm also thinking here, maybe primarily, of a spiritual starvation. People are starving for the greatness of God. And yet most people in our day and generation don't really think of it like that. If you like, the greatness and the majesty and the glory and the wonder of God is an unknown cure. You know, the amazing thing is that over these next days, literally in a few hours, gifts will be given and received, and it's a very happy time. And yet, do you think that in a few days' time, or in a week's time, all of this giving and receiving of gifts will have made people content? I suspect not. You see, I wonder, have you noticed, to paraphrase somebody else, a person never earns enough. A woman is never beautiful enough. Clothes are never fashionable enough. Cars are never nice enough. Gadgets are never modern enough. Houses are never furnished enough. Food is never fancy enough. Life is never enough. You see, there is within this world, and let me quote John Piper here. He says in his book, Desiring God, the world has an inconsolable longing. It tries to satisfy the longing with scenic vacations, creative accomplishments, stunning cinematic productions, sexual exploits, extreme sports, hallucinogenic drugs, managerial efficiencies. But the longing remains. What does that mean? And what does it say to us? Well, let me quote the well-known words of C.S. Lewis in his Mere Christianity, which if you have not read, I commend to you. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And to continue to quote Lewis in his wonderful essay, The Weight of Glory, speaking about things that we look to satisfy and yet they never satisfy, he says this, and I quote, "For they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited." You see, there is that longing within the human heart. I still haven't found what I'm searching for, cry and sing millions. I can't get no satisfaction. And so we say tonight, for all who are listening, and in this nation there are many sadly not listening, we say, come to Bethlehem. Come to the house of bread and see the bread of life. Come, all who are hungry and all who are spiritually thirsty, and feast upon him, the Lord Jesus, by faith. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not only on his extraordinary incarnation and birth, but in his extraordinary life, in his atoning death and resurrection. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and satisfied when you come to the house of bread and when you taste of the bread of life. I, the Lord of wind and flame, said the hymn writer, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save, finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. So tell me tonight, are you satisfied? Or are you still searching? Still hoping that this life will provide that sense of true contentment, true happiness, ultimate satisfaction? I say to you tonight, I fear you will not find it in this world and in this life, in the things of this world. You will find it in Jesus, this great prophet, this great Savior, this great King, who was born in the house of bread, and who grew up as the bread of life, and who offers eternal life and bread to all who put their trust in him. So I commend you to Jesus, and I commend Jesus to you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, born in that house of bread, Bethlehem. And Lord, whilst we are very, very mindful tonight of those who are starving for the lack of physical bread, and our hearts go out to these dear people, and we cry unto you, O God, for their deliverance, we also cry unto you, O God, tonight for those who are starving spiritually for want of a knowledge of the greatness and glory of Christ, the bread of life. So, Lord, open hearts, open ears, open our wills, that we might see and believe, that we might come and, like the shepherds and wise men of old, bow before the Christ and worship him and go on our way rejoicing. Lord, hear our prayer, because we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing this lovely carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Then we will have our closing prayer. And then I'm going to invite you just to remain seated for a short moment as the choir